Hello, and welcome to a Vashon Minute, where we take a moment to focus on one island issue or one island person at a time. Opinions expressed on this show are those of the participants alone and do not reflect the opinions of anyone officially associated with Voice of Vashon. I'm Susan McCabe, your host for this episode, where we are going to learn about the possibility inherent in the intersection between places, environments, cultures, individuals, and the gardens that bring them together. To help us do that, I'm joined on Zoom by Jennifer Jewell, author and host of the podcast Cultivating Place, Conversations on Natural History and the Human Impulse to Garden. Welcome, Jennifer, and thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be coming your way in person soon.
Well, our dear friend Karen Biondo, a local farmer and dynamo, has brought you here. You're going to be at Dig Deep Gardens Tuesday, August 20th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. What can we expect from that conversation?
Well, you know, I think there are so many gardeners and growers and people just deeply interested in the stewardship of land and their relationship to land there on Vashon. I think what I hope you can expect is a really lively talk from me, but then engagement with the people in the audience about what this means to us to cultivate our places and how we can do it even better or even more connected to one another and the different groups. I think one example of this is just the groups of people that have come together to bring me to the island to speak about my philosophy and my work. You know, you think about the Dig Deep Gardens and the Vashon Island Growers Association and Vashon Books. And there's just, I think, so much interested in this, so much interest in this idea of connecting how we care for our land to how we grow our world better.
I'd like you to say more about that philosophy. How do you see your work impacting on humans at this time on our planet?
You know, I've been doing this exact work called Cultivating Place since 2016, but I am a lifelong gardener. I am the daughter of a professional gardening mother and a wildlife biologist father, both of whom were deeply concerned with relationship to land, with care of land, with being a constant student of land and plants. And so one of the sort of foundational beliefs in my program is that gardens are more than just pretty places. And we kind of got relegated to this idea of either being production places or being pretty places and not a lot more. And what I see in my work interviewing interesting people in gardening from around the world, and by gardening, I mean anything adjacent to gardening, anything to do with plants, whether that's science or art or cooking or land care, all of those things, that it really is one of these, the human impulse to garden is one of these aspects of what it means to be human that is common ground across time and space and culture. It's one of these aspects of being human that transcends all those things that might divide us, and where we find a common language and we find a common purpose about what we care about in the world. And that when we find that common ground together, we are able to make so much greater progress towards, if not completely solving, at least addressing some of the things we are most concerned about in our world right now. And one of those things, I think, is actually polarization and division. Another one is environmental habitat loss and biodiversity loss and poor, you know, nutrition in our processed foods and poor connection to nature and poor connection within our communities. Like, all of these things are improved when people come together to garden well and to garden better.
I want to ask you more about that, because it feels to me at times as though we humans have separated ourselves from our connection to the earth. How do you see technology either bringing us closer to the earth or as one of the culprits in taking us away from our connection to the earth?
Well, I mean, I think from my seat, it's both. The answer is never either or, it's both. And I say that because we all spend too much time on our screens, on our phones, our computers, our televisions, our whatever the device might be. But these are tools, and they are tools at our bidding. So we have the capacity, we created them, we have the capacity to manage them. And there are many ways. I mean, I think of social media. It, you know, Instagram drives me crazy, but it also brings me an incredible community of plant lovers and plant experts from around the world in a way that I never would have had access to before, right? And so that, I think, is it's an important awareness for us to be able to contextualize and be intentional about what we want and how we want to then implement it in our lives. I think another example of how my phone actually can help me be closer to nature is that I'm actually a fan. I wasn't originally, but I am a fan now of those apps wherein you can be walking in the wild and you can take a picture with the app of, and the one that I use is called Seek. And I think it's one of the iNaturalist aspects. It's called iNaturalist Seek. I can take a picture of a leaf in the wild and it will tell me what I'm looking at. And it's not always right, I will say that, but it gets me really close to what this plant might be.
Yeah.
And so that's a wonderful way. I think in general, our technology, because we allow it, separates us from nature. But it's up to us to like move back into the driver's seat there and go out into our gardens or on our trails or to our parks or public spaces without letting technology get in the way and just pull it out when we can use it.
Right. Of course, we could take your podcast with us.
There you go. Lots of people listen while they garden, I am told.
Yes. You talk about inspiration and education you've gotten from around the world. What other countries or cultures have influenced your philosophy the most?
Ah, that's an interesting question. I think so many of them have. Like the minute you start researching or reading about any other culture's kind of history and mindset about the way they handle gardens, like the Japanese or multiple Indian and Moroccan gardens have been influential in my both the design styles I love, the layered history that's within each of these different styles. And of course, no one culture has one kind of garden, right? None of them are a monolith, just like we aren't. But I would say that in general, the kind of naturalism movement is where I tend in my own garden. But I find something interesting about anyone who gardens anywhere. Like there's always something to learn, whether it's a method or it's a philosophy or it's a ritual. There is always something to be learned from someone else's gardening style and history, and hopefully their future aspirations with what their work is doing.
So what advice could you give our listeners who might be new to gardening about how to get started and how it might help them emotionally, spiritually, intellectually?
Well, the first thing I would say is just keep going out there. Just keep going out there and follow what feels fun and joyful to you. So if what you want is flowers, go out and plant some flowers. If they don't all do well, don't give up. That's the other thing. Like, one of the lessons of the seeds, which I talk about in my third book, What We Sow, is that a tree or a plant generally puts out a whole lot of seed with the strategy that not all of them are going to survive, right? Only a couple are going to survive to maturity. And so remember that, like, you're, the goal of life is not everything is perfect. It's just try, learn, try again. And try a lot. So if what you want is vegetables, only plant the vegetables you love and you're really going to eat. Don't just plant things that right. you think you should plant, right? And you're going to learn something new every season. My strongest advice, and this was actually said, reiterated by a guest I had last week on the program, is try not to use any chemicals. Just start off with the habit of no chemicals and try not to plant invasive plants. Ask if you're worried. Otherwise, plant whatever makes you happy.
That sounds so wonderful. And I have to say, in my own personal garden, everything is an experiment. And I love to see what happens or doesn't. Yes. You mentioned, I love this, the spiritual philosophy of compost. What is that?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's something I think that my mother taught to me as a child. I was raised in an Episcopal family, and so had, you know, this mainstream religious upbringing. But at the same time, my mother was very clear on this idea that everything, whether it's energy or it's your leftover lettuce or it's the plant that died or us, we all go back into the compost of the earth. Mm. And we then go on to feed what comes next. And if something can't go into the compost of the earth, you maybe want to consider not using it.
Oh, good point. And now that there are composting options for after one dies, we can go into the earth and be truly pushing up daisies.
Truly pushing up daisies, yes.
We are almost out of time. I want to remind our listeners that I'm speaking with Jennifer Jewell, author of 4 books, including Cultivating Place, Invitations from the Gardens and Gardeners as Intersectional Agents of Change, The Earth in Her, Our Hands, 75 Extraordinary Women Working in the World of Plants, that sounds great, Under Western Skies, Visionary Gardens, Gardeners of Place, and Why This Matters, and What We Sow on the Personal, Ecological, and Cultural Significance of Siege. Jennifer is going to be at our own Dig Deep Gardens August 20th, Tuesday from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. All are welcome, and bring your questions. Jennifer, we're about out of time. What would you like to leave our listeners with?
I just want to remind them that gardens and gardeners are one of the most powerful agents and spaces for change. The two, the human plus the place in our world, powerful agents for positive change. Stand in that power as a gardener and everything is going to grow better.
Jennifer Jewell, thank you so much for your time today. And dear listeners, thank you for joining us here on A Vashon Minute. Please stay tuned with the Voice of Vashon. You never know what might come next.